Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Oh, what's your point?
I thought you might have one.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 4, Episode 10, Self-Rely. And now here are your hosts.
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Hello, Sarah.
Thoreau. Hello.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for being here. Before we get into this episode, we want to tell you what's coming up on our Patreon. Again with this episode 253 is dropping Friday, August 22nd. Let's watch Joshua Jackson in Cruel Intentions. It's a biggie. I went through the whole cast and was like, surely he's not the only person relevant to us who's in it. But he is. It's just he's not the only WB star in it, because there was also, of course, a certain Sarah Michelle Gellar. But I'm excited to revisit this one. And I don't think you and I have ever really talked about it, but it's a biggie.
He and his frosted tips.
Yes, right. So yeah, just ahead of Back to School, let's go back to the perviest school there is and Cruel Intentions. You can find it streaming on Prime Video. We'll link that in the show notes. And you can join us at any level and hear that again with this podcast.com/club. Get in there, join the ranks, help us get to that first campaign milestone of stickers. Stickers are great. We love
them. Yes.
All right, let's get into this episode, starting with our B-plot. Gays and straights make an alliance. After a throwaway reference in the cold open to Jen dragging Jack to a gay-straight alliance meeting in Provincetown, we open at said meeting. It's in a huge coffee shop. Jack babbles nervously that this isn't his scene, and Jen and her kerchief try to talk him down, reminding him that his scene consists of herself, Dawson, and Grams, and that he can't spend his entire life around straight people. A cute blonde guy in glasses and, I assume, faux dog tags approaches them. Clip two.
Hey, you here for the meeting?
Yes, we are.
Thank God. We need more lesbians with decent haircuts. I'm Toby.
Jen, but I'm actually just here as a friend. Jack, Toby, Jack.
Have we met?
No, I don't think so.
I've definitely seen you in something. I know you're the gay football player. Last year from the news, we always wondered about you.
Hey, I'm sorry, was I wrong? You're not the gay football player?
No, I am. Just I'm not comfortable with labels like that, so.
I see. And which label bothers you more, gay or football player?
Think you know, Toby. He wanders off and Jen gives Jack a big, bright, great start face that's only missing like double thumbs up because it's very cute, very sarcastic.
Yeah.
When we rejoin them, Jen is looking quizzical and Jack is struggling to stay awake as Toby holds forth. Clip three.
Oh, God. The only if way I hear the words gay one more time, I'm going to scream.
Jack, it's just a word.
It's in every sentence the guy says.
So, our new people. Jack, wasn't it? Why the sudden interest in joining our little coffee clatch?
Well, I
Up. On your feet.
I was, coaching a Pee Wee soccer team over in Capeside, and
I say no more, and the parents fired you when they found out you were queer. Though, of course, they were very careful not to fire you because you were queer.
I wouldn't exactly put it that way.
But it's what happened, isn't it? So, what'd you do?
I did the only thing I could. I left.
But you didn't protest. You didn't put up a fight. That's not exactly a giant step forward for gay rights.
I wasn't thinking about gay rights at the time. I was thinking about the kids.
Ah, of course. Though, as everybody here knows, the only way to make society any better is to confront prejudice head on. Which brings me to our last order of business. You can sit down now.
Brr.
Someone loves running a meeting. getting a lot out of lording it over everybody. Mm-hmm. Toby goes on to highlight the group's favorite lesbians, Anna and Sarah. Not sure what he thinks about their haircuts, given how he reacted to Jen, but you can see them in the show notes and decide what you think. They got kicked out of a bowling alley for kissing. The owner claims that the place does not allow PDA regardless of sexual orientation, but the coalition plans to test this. Jack snarks his relief that future generations won't be denied their right to bowl. And as Jen is muttering at him that they're keeping an open mind, Toby's like, something you want to share with the group? And Jen says they just wanted to know what time the bowling action is happening. And when we see them next, they are in the halls at school arguing about whether Jack's going to participate in the protest. In this scene, she is wearing an absolutely insane headband. It looks like a basket and not in a good way. And the color is like the same as her hair. It looks so dumb.
Yeah, not great.
You can see it in the show notes, obviously. Counter to Jen's promises, Jack claims it won't be fun and that bowling has never been fun. Wrong. So Jen bargains that they don't have to bowl when they go. They can just hang out and make new friends. Clip 4.
Oh, yeah, like that guy Toby? No thanks.
Oh, come on. I think he's sweet.
He would.
Meaning what?
Meaning the guy loves you. He practically started drooling on sight.
Oh, please. He does not love me. He just worships my more diva-like qualities. I happen to think he likes you. You know, beneath all that militant, angry, young gay man posturing, which is sexy.
Yeah, very far beneath. The guy's a fascist dictator. And for the record, even if I wanted to meet new people, which I don't, it's a totally unnatural way to do it.
All right, fine. Point taken.
God, I mean, it's like, hi, I'm gay, and that's all I am. I mean, how weird is that?
So, you know, it's totally weird. It is.
Just because a bunch of people share the same sexual orientation doesn't mean that they have anything else in common.
I know, you're right.
Why are you agreeing with me?
Easy. I'm going without you.
I mean, come on. It's bowling and it's the off season on Cape Cod. What mm-hmm. else are you going to do?
Yeah, I've had just about enough of the bowling bashing. Bowling is fun.
Yeah, fuck off.
Get over yourself. Also, don't call people fascists when they're at the other end of the political spectrum. Let's use the correct words. You know,
yeah.
Militant, sure. Fascist, no.
Yeah. Also, he's hot. Give me a break.
Also, he's hot. At the protest, Jen is trading on the diva-like qualities she assumes Toby admires in her by linking arms with him at the bowling alley as he wonders how she and Mr. Quarterback got to be such good friends. She sighs that they are both terminally unlucky in love, and also Jack isn't the quarterback. She says, they throw him the ball and he catches it, which also means nothing to Toby. Guesses why he and Jen get along so well. And then he spots Jack coming in wearing his Letterman jacket and calls him Captain America. Jen admits that Jack wasn't going to come, but that she blackmailed him into it. And to Jack, she's all, you changed your mind. And he calls her out for her fake surprise. And after a reintroduction, clip 5.
Nice jacket.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
He's kidding, right?
About what?
The jacket. I mean, it's like ironic, right? Or something he got in at a thrift store.
No, that's literally his jacket.
What, is there a problem?
No. No, but I think it's time to bowl. Toby, pink. He is sweet, huh?
I get some shoes.
All right.
I mean, he's not sweet, but again, he's hot. Like,
yeah.
Why is the mind not being kept open here?
Yeah, it doesn't. You don't have to talk.
No.
Do ya?
Later, it's Jack's turn to bowl as Jen asks if he is embarrassed to be there. Jack snorts that of course he is, not because it's gay bowling night, just that it's bowling. Again, shut up.
Yeah.
She agrees with him, Jen, and adds that the event is well-intentioned and that people should be able to stand up for what they believe in. Jack sniffs that she's starting to sound like Toby just in time for Jack to roll and Toby to come check on them. Jack bowls a 9. Toby smirks that Captain America's even good at bowling. Jen suddenly decides to make a snack bar run, and we see Jack pace a little before clip 6.
You know, I'm gonna bite.
Captain America. Superhero. Marvel comic.
Don't worry, it's a compliment. He's not gay or anything.
Oh, okay, I see. So that's what all your comments are about. I'm not gay enough for you? I don't fit into some pre-existing stereotype in your head?
I see. Is all this getting a little too gay for you?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is getting a little too gay for me. I gotta admit, I just don't understand the point to it. To your group, to the way you guys act, to your whole holier-than-thou attitude.
You wouldn't. I mean, not from where you're sitting at the fun and popular table with all the other football players and cheerleaders. But in the real world, the one that the rest of us live in, people who fit in like you beat up people who don't, like me. But you don't get that, do you? You know what, you've probably never had a rough day in your entire life.
Hey, you don't know me well enough to assume anything about me. Or how rough it's been for me, or what my life is like, or what it's cost me to get where I am.
Which is where exactly?
Anywhere but here.
Guys, stop fighting. Yeah. Just kiss.
Stop fighting. Start Frenching. I mean, this is actually pretty well done.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Though it does seem a little like immature, I guess, for Jack to just be like, I'm more than just this. And it's equally immature for Toby to be like, but you have to also be that first and foremost.
Right.
And but I think it's good that Toby sort of blunders into, without knowing it, the fact that Jack is basically raising himself now.
Mm-hmm.
At McPhee House, so this is not bad.
I mean, his dad is still alive, right? He's just off screen. Like, in the world of the show, he hasn't left.
In the universe of the show, we never see him again, but
we sure don't. Like,
still.
Yes, no, it's true. But I also think that, like, in order to have a gay series regular character, they had to sort of have him be a certain way, and... This is sort of the show's way of being like, and there are a variety of ways to be a queer kid in this world. And Jack is one and Toby is another, and they're going to have to figure it out.
And also that once again, like, he would just be going to Provincetown to, like, get coffee and, you know, hang out on the pier and see who else he met. Like, a lot of this is very Carolina coded in a way that I'm not totally sure would be necessary for queer youth even back then, but what do I know?
I feel like previous episodes have sort of established in a credible way that, like, he's curious but scared, like he doesn't have another person to do this with. And
yeah.
So, like, when we saw him on his own in Boston in that episode where he went to the weird gay bar with all the dads in it, that it was like, it was like, okay, like, this is a, you know, this is too much. Like, I don't want to take a drink from this guy, you know, whatever, whatever. And so I think that's why we have Jen in this episode being like, you can't only hang around with straight people all the time, that, like, she's trying to help him get out of his shell and that he's, he's nervous about it. I think that, that scans to me.
And he's not from the Cape, like, the character is from, although still, like, he's from the, you know, the town that Brown University is in. I don't know. Like, there are just certain aspects of this that are like, would he actually be this? Not even hesitant, which I think is normal or accurate or whatever, but, like, this sort of estranged from the opportunity, the, like, social opportunities that he has, being like, if you climb a hill, you can see a gay Mecca from your house. Like, I don't know. I don't actually know, because that was not my experience. So I should probably stop clocking it, but that's my job to do. So that's what I'm doing.
Another day, Jack is getting a coffee in town when Toby spots him and says he's there to hang flyers because the gays are always recruiting. Jack is reading one when Toby takes it back and says Jack is officially kicked out of the Alliance. Jack snorts that he's crushed, adding that whatever it is about him that intimidates Toby, it's not Jack's fault, and he won't let Toby push him around. And he shouldn't have let the soccer parents do it either, which, be clear, was soccer dads. Toby says they agree, and Jack is right. He doesn't know Jack or understand his life, and he may have jumped to conclusions based on Jack's appearance because Toby's been treated that way his whole life. Clip 7.
Hey, when I was 9, I used to walk home to this baseball field. All these older kids would hide in the dugouts and wait for me to walk by. They'd call me fag, sissy, queer, the full spectrum. Until my older sister would come along and scare them away. I mean, that's when you really know you're gay, when your sister has to fight your battles for you. But you don't know what that's like, do you?
No, I don't. It doesn't make me any more straight.
Okay, Jack does have a sister who fought his battles for him. So that's A. I know she's not on the show anymore, but she was helpful in that regard. But also, as for this whole backstory with Toby getting clocked, like, he and Jack have the same build and they dress the same. Like, he's not even in socially aware t-shirts like Matt Fielding on Melrose. Like, they just gave him glasses and they're super low key. Like, I'm sure the WB wasn't here for a hypothetical Queenie version of this character. Plus, the writers of the show were going for something more assimilationist because it's, you know, 2001. But they could have cast someone who didn't also look like he could be a wide receiver if this was where the storyline was going to go. Like,
I mean, I think Monahan has been out and proud all along in his career. I'd have to double check my memory on that. So maybe that they were like, that's as far as we can go, is sort of like having an activist by existing actor. Hard to say.
Right.
But yeah, there's definitely a credibility problem with, you know, like, he's the same height as Jack, and again, same builds. Like, he doesn't, he's wearing kind of a bulky jacket, but I'm not really buying that he couldn't have dished it out.
Right. Let's not act like he's Cola Scola in costume as O'Mary. You know, like, let's be real. On to the A plot. Thank God, between the kiss and the documentary, everyone is focused on Dawson again. We open this story in the dark room with Jack recapping, leave it to the professionals, the previous night's mistletoe kiss to one of the people who did it. Dawson tries to play it off. Yes, Gretchen was his first crush, but now she's a friend and he wants to keep her that way. Jack and Dawson pop out to the ground floor where Gretchen has come to clean up after the party. Too late, and I'm not sure you still get credit for trying the day after when you basically demanded to throw a party at someone else's house. But anyway, Jack takes off with a goofy grin at Dawson, and then clip 8.
The reason I came by was because I reacted stupidly. When the whole mistletoe thing happened, I should have just cleared the air right then and there. I mean, that's sort of my policy on things like that.
You have a policy in kissing your younger brother's former best friend underneath the mistletoe at holiday parties?
No. No, I didn't say anything at the time because I was afraid that you might think that it meant something more than it did. I mean, you're young and...
Well, not that young.
No. No, right. Of course not. So, obviously you didn't think that it meant something more.
Obviously.
Because sometimes if we don't clear these things up, then they can get kind of awkward, and that would suck.
Tell me about it.
So, to sum up, last night was strictly a season's greeting kind of a kiss.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recapped this episode and I remember it feeling like a legit Christmas miracle that Dawson was being so A, normal, and B, like, relatably sort of looking at Gretchen like, why are you making this weird now?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, you have a policy on that. That's a good line.
It's and a good line.
Dawson got it. Like, okay.
Truly, like, we're not done saying this, but like 10 episodes into season 4, it is remarkable the turnaround they have given this character.
Yeah, they must have felt like, okay, you've been punished enough. We're going to try to fix your hair and we're going to try to fix you, your soul, basically. And like, I found Gretchen really grating, much more grating first time around. But I do like that she's just like a little bit full of herself and condescending, and the Dawson of all people gets to be like, do you hear yourself?
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
I don't know. It's good. It's a nice moment for him. He earned it.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm saying it, but it's true.
No, I'll give him credit where it's due. I'll shit on him in other scenes, but in this one, he's very good. After the credits, Joey and Pacey are seeing off a no lines having Bessie and a not visible but presumed Bodie for what Pacey exposits is a trip that will leave the teens alone together for 3 nights with Alexander. Pacey notes to Joey that they still haven't talked about last night. Joey plays dumb, forcing him to say he's referring to the big kiss. Joey babbles that she has too much schoolwork to do to think about it. And then right on cue, Alexander wakes up crying from his nap and she takes off. And then we're back with Dawson, tiresomely pitching Mr. Brooks on his documentary idea. Clip 9.
A lot of great directors have dedicated themselves to studying their cinematic forebears. Truffaut, Hitchcock, Bogdanovich, and John Ford, Billy Wilder, and Cameron Crowe. I know you've never heard of him.
I lied. Talented fella, shaggy-haired. Doesn't hold a candle to a handsome fella, L.A. Confidential. Best picture of the 90s.
So you haven't been to the movies since Star Wars?
My ARP card gives me a nice discount at the Rialto.
So what makes LA Confidential so great?
You really want to know?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Come back tomorrow to lesson number one at the A.I. Brooks School of Cinema.
So you'll do it?
Producer credit above the title. You'd be director in name only, like Fleming in Gone with the Wind. You have a problem with that?
No problem at all.
Way to negotiate, Mr. Brooks. And I love that he calls it his ARP card.
His ARP card.
My people. So cute.
At the B&B that night, Joey is struggling to read Walden, the only interaction anyone ever has with that book, by the way, despite a loud rapping, which turns out to be Pacey letting Alexander bang a cookie sheet with a couple of wooden spoons. Joey bitches that Pacey always gets Alexander riled up before bedtime, and now she's never going to be able to study. Pacey volunteers to put Alexander to bed, but instead of even letting him try, when he does have nieces and nephews, he may know what he's doing, she kicks him out. When there's a knock at the door, just as she's about to try to put Alexander down herself, she assumes it's Pacey and she snaps at him before the door is even open. So, of course, it's not him. It's a family of four who are apparently desperate if they're still willing to stay after Joey goes from rude to merely cold. And the next morning, Pacey has to tell Gretchen about Joey kicking him out and then quickly changes the subject to what the hell Gretchen was doing kissing Dawson at the party. This is when Gretchen finds out that anyone even saw them, but stays calm as Pacey rants at her about kissing Dawson instead of someone her own advanced age, as he puts it. When Pacey runs out of breath, Gretchen blames the mistletoe and claims it meant nothing to either of them. Clip 10.
There's no such thing as just a kiss, especially not in Capeside.
Didn't you people ever play spin the bottle?
No, unfortunately, that quaint little lady's tradition of yours had gone the way of the dodo by the time I hit puberty.
Okay, did you think they'd already had a spin the bottle episode? Because I was sure they had.
Yeah.
It was the seance, I think, is what I was thinking of, because I Googled it.
Oh, right. Got it. Completely forgot about that.
There is a spin the bottle episode coming, but not until season 6, according to Google. So now we know.
Okay.
Wow. Anyway, Gretchen asks why Pacey even cares who Dawson kisses, and Pacey says he doesn't, but someone he knows does. Gretchen says in that case, he should be talking to Joey instead of hassling her. Pacey says he tried, but Joey hasn't had time to think about it, which both witters agree is a lie. Pacey fears he can either take the high road and pretend he believes Joey or take the low road, force the issue, and come off like a jerk. Gretchen thinks he should just be the best boyfriend he can be, and if that doesn't work, she's confident he can be a jerk and force the issue. And in class later, Joey's frantically making notes. By the way, you can see this in the visual aids. She is leaning so far over her book this episode that I am concerned she needs glasses and no one has noticed. Like, she is an inch from the paper.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe an inch and a half.
It's a little
maybe she's
much.
Just trying to get high off the highlighter fumes. Like, lemony.
Dawson asks if she's prepared for the test they're about to take. She lies that she is, even though she has the Walden Cliff Notes in front of her, which is a first for her. He asks if she would tell him if something were wrong, and she lies some more that she would. And then Mr. Kasdan distributes a test, and Dawson watches with concern as Joey looks at the test with muted horror. Speaking of horror, Dawson has started interviewing Mr. Brooks. Clip 11.
Is it true that there are only 6 stories?
Only 3. Guy loves girl, guy gets girl, guy loses girl. What in the hell are you doing?
I'm moving the camera.
You want to make your viewers seasick?
No.
Well, hold the camera steady. Get over there. Unobtrusive.
Don't you think that kind of thinking is a little outdated?
Good enough for Howard Hawks, good enough for you.
Yeah, but you can't just write off all the technological advancements that we've made. I mean, movies like Fight Club and The Matrix, that kung fu sequence alone.
Kung fu? Next you want me to know about Gladiator pictures.
Please tell us about Gladiator pictures. Also, Hall of Fame pronunciation on Kung Fu. So good.
ARP. Best.
Instead of asking about Gladiator pictures in general, Dawson asks specifically about the then relatively new Ridley Scott movie Gladiator. In this episode's Mr. Brooks continues being willing to show he's very knowledgeable about current cinema despite his posturing last time. He thought Gladiator was a tad over the top. Hasn't seen a movie as good as LA Confidential since The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Dawson's seen that one, right? Dawson says it has a compelling love triangle like a lot of great movies do. Mr. Brooks asks what Dawson's point is. Dawson says he thought Mr. Brooks might have one, and he does. Clip 12.
For every piece of happiness, there's also a piece of unhappiness. If you haven't told both sides, you haven't told the whole story. All right? I think we're done for the day.
Hold on, you can't just quit when you get to the good part.
Oh, yes, I can. I'm the star. No star, no picture.
You've been going on all afternoon about the importance of asking fundamental questions about truth, honor, and friendship. Now that I finally asked them, you've got nothing to say? Who was this girl who made you give up filmmaking?
That's what you want to hear, the salacious details.
No. Complex human emotion.
All right, come back after supper. I'll try to dredge up some painful memories for you.
He's really doing so much more than he needs to in this role, Mr. Presnell.
Mm-hmm. We miss him.
We do.
At the B&B, Joey's ranting self-justifications about beefing the test to what turns out to be Alexander chilling on the kitchen floor. She sinks down next to him and sighs that it's a C. Well, C for a C. Sorry. But also, aren't your grades already in for college applications? Isn't that how it works? Like, relax.
If they are where I think they are in the calendar, this is around the time of year I found out about early decision stuff. So presumably unnamed Richie College is about to mail you an envelope. But that's not how it works on teen television programs.
Only for Andy, because they had to get her ass out of there, I suppose.
Yeah.
Joey tells Alexander to stay off the road to high achievement, which will only lead to heartache, which is when Pacey lets himself in with groceries. And instead of being grateful for the effort, particularly considering that as far as we know, he has no income, she coldly says that she went shopping too and resumes putting her stuff away. Clip 13.
Oh, well, you can never have too many groceries. Especially if some more unexpected guests drop by like last night.
No, well, then I'll take care of it like I did last night.
Come here, baby. All the way up, top floor.
Mama. Is this some sort of intervention or something?
What? You got the hiccups? I just thought I'd come by and cook you some supper, you know? Build some Lego castles. That way you could study.
I don't need to study tonight, Pacey. I needed to study last night when I kicked you out. Remember that? It's all coming back to you now.
Oh, judging by your mood, I'd say the test went really well.
It really doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter how I did on that stupid test. Because I can't really undo it. You know, I can't retake it. It's over.
So you're really this upset by some stupid test?
Look, I'm sorry if I can't let things roll off my shoulders, Pacey. I don't really have the energy to buck up and be in a good mood, okay? I'm tired. I'm so tired of worrying about Alexander. And I'm so tired of waiting on people. And I'm so tired of doing everything by myself.
You kicked him out. You can't have it both ways. Like, are you a martyr or are you overwhelmed? Like, pick one.
I will say Katie Holmes is doing an extraordinary job threading that needle of like, you know, you're being irrational. Mm-hmm. You can't really articulate why you're actually upset and you want to scream and like, but you also don't want to start crying and you chiefly do not want to do any of this in front of anyone that you respect and you don't want to need help. Like she is doing great with that. And the writing actually isn't bad with it either. I just think it's maybe a little too much for a teen drama. Like,
yes.
Like, is this sort of realistically off-putting for her to be like, yes, but this isn't like a, I don't even know, like this isn't a Noah Baumbach feature. This is Dawson's Creek. Like, just bring it back to some basics, I would say. Good performance, though, I wanted to note.
I agree, especially on the crying. They're writing this as if she's an overwhelmed single mother. This is day two of you looking after your nephew. Like,
yeah,
take it easy.
And also, what the fuck was Bessie thinking leaving him and the B&B in the charge of a still minor child?
Yeah.
Who has to go to school as well?
Yes.
This is not very Bessie and very dumb and contrived.
Right. And just because you don't have reservations doesn't mean, like, as we saw, someone couldn't show up. So,
yeah,
it is too much.
Or that you couldn't tell them to leave. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
This is dumb.
True. Anyway, Pacey, the perfect boyfriend, is too gracious to say, "You kicked me out, remember?" So he nicely says he wants to help Joey, but he can't if she won't tell him the truth. Clip 14.
This is the truth.
No, it's not. The truth is, what's really bothering you is what happened between Dawson and Gretchen.
I'm not upset about Dawson and Gretchen.
No. Okay, maybe you're not, but you are certainly upset about Dawson and you.
That is not true.
It's not true.
No.
Please tell me the truth, because it's certainly not about you and me, you know? I haven't screwed up for at least a day or two.
You know what? You haven't. You never do. You are the perfect boyfriend. You win the perfect boyfriend contest. You beat Dawson. Is that what you want to hear, Pacey?
I mean, you shouldn't need to at this point.
Yeah, seriously. The world took a vote and the results are in. But yeah, here again, like, she realizes that she's being a C, but she's just like completely lost control of it for herself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really quite a performance.
Yes, I agree. After the commercial, it's going to continue and I feel differently about it, but we'll get there in a second. Pacey just laughs bitterly and Joey hoists Alexander up to trudge out and feels sorry for herself in a different room.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
After commercials, Pacey has somehow not left Joey to handle shit by herself, despite all that. And when she comes back into the living room, clip 15.
Is he asleep?
Yep.
I did the dishes.
Thanks.
No, I didn't come over here tonight to fight about Dawson.
Yes, you did.
Okay, go to the visual aids to see the sneer on her in this scene, because it is really a lot. Like, she's...
Yeah.
This is where it's, like, tipped over, where, like, okay, you go put Alexander to bed, realize you're being silly, and come back out and say, okay, I'm sorry, but she doesn't. That's where I feel like the writing really loses me in this sequence, because now it's too much.
Yeah, I think it's too much, even for Joey. I don't think her character is like someone who wouldn't back down and realize that she was being insane. And while she was putting Alexander down, she would have had time to sort of calm down, or at least come out and be like, I'm sorry I'm being so witchy. I'm just under a lot of stress. Can you just give me a second?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I do kind of feel like he came over to fight about Dawson. So,
well,
I don't like everybody gets to be wrong, just like in the B plot. Wow. Good paralleling, Gina Fator.
Yes. And in fact, Pacey admits she is right. He did come over to fight about Dawson, but he had a reason. Clip 16.
But only because I don't want this to become one of those things that we never talk about. Then I look up one day and you're gone.
What things, Pacey?
Well, things like the future.
We talk about the future.
No, Joey, we talk around the future.
That is not true. I don't know why it should bother me, this Dawson and Gretchen thing.
But it does bother you. Look, it's okay that it bothers you. I just want you to be able to tell me that. Don't shut me out from these things.
Pacey, I do think about the future. I do.
So what do you see when you see the future?
Us. Me and you, Pace, we grew up together. And see, Dawson and I, we didn't grow up. We are in that house, in Dawson's bedroom, eternally having the same argument over and over again in this endless cycle that goes on, and I can't stop it. Because whenever I'm around him, I become 15 again.
Well, if that's the problem, and believe me, this isn't easy for me to say, but you have to talk to Dawson. And then would you please call me?
I thought that was more insight than we have had into her side of the Dawson-Joey dynamic thus far, and was really well said. It makes so much more sense about, like, I feel locked in our old patterns.
Yeah.
Like, that's what she means when she says, he knows me better. Like, he knows the past you, and this feels like a progression of what we've heard before.
Yeah, and that she feels stifled by that. I mean, because that is really both well said and actually reads like something that someone this age versus a 36-year-old would say. Mm-hmm. I do have one small note, which is that I think she should say that she feels 12 years old again and not 15, but only because the rest of it is like so on point for the way she thinks about it, that it's just like, that is what I used to think my future was before I understood what normal boys act like. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, and also when she says, like, we grew up together, meaning her and Pacey, it's like, you did.
Yeah.
That was like a life-changing time that you both had together this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad that she recognizes it.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Mr. Brooks is telling Dawson about hitchhiking to the West Coast on Route 66 and then quizzes Dawson on his knowledge, guessing he probably hasn't even read The Grapes of Wrath. Dawson says he saw the movie and Mr. Brooks is disgusted, but adds that John Huston was a hell of a director. Dawson corrects him that John Ford directed it and all the early Henry Fonda movies, and Mr. Brooks looks annoyed that Dawson's right, and even more annoyed when he gets John Huston's first movie wrong too, although at least on that one he corrects himself. Dawson offers a break. Clip 17.
Can I get you some water or something?
Well, that'd be good, yeah. Water, ice, bourbon. Hold the water, hold the ice.
Sarah!
MVP!
Dawson doesn't think that drink is a good idea, and when Mr. Brooks snaps that he doesn't care what Dawson thinks and heavily gets up to make it himself, Dawson stops him and goes to a tray in a hallway, and in the time it takes him to pour, Mr. Brooks is nodded off in his chair. Dawson spreads a blanket over Mr. Brooks so we can hear he is already snoring. And when Dawson gets home, Joey's waiting by his window. She has brought a stack of Counting Crows CDs. Dawson chuckles that they're hers. But she knows, she figured they could pass them back and forth whenever they had something to discuss, which makes this truly a long December. Dawson's tone gets very submissive as he asks what she wants to discuss, and she admits that she lied in Mr. Kasdan's class earlier. She wasn't okay. But then she fake laughs that she totally blew the test because she's had to hold down the fort at home. Even Dawson can tell she's bullshitting and starts laughing, but not in a mean way, and asks how she got in this situation at all if Pacey was with her. So then she has to admit he was trying to help, but she wouldn't let him. Dawson shrugs that she should have, especially with Alexander, since Pacey's great with kids, probably because he still is one. And then he quickly adds he meant that in a good way, and his tone backs it up. Truly is a Christmas miracle.
It really is.
And then, speaking of which, he produces Joey's Christmas gift. She says he shouldn't have, since she doesn't have his yet, but he doesn't care and tells her to open it. And it's a very nice frame print of a candid shot of her with Pacey next to the tree at the party. And I know I make fun of Jenny and Tori for doing this on OMG, but I hope someone has this because it is a nice shot.
Mm-hmm. It is. Good frame, too.
Mm-hmm. Joey studies it for a while and then says it's beautiful. Dawson takes the compliment, saying he thinks he's getting better, but Joey tearily says that's not what she meant. He knows what she meant. She says the party was fun, and he agrees that it had its moments, so she brings up him and Gretchen, but he says that wasn't a moment, it was a holiday tradition. And she asks what his and Gretchen's deal is, and he says they're friends. Joey says they were kissing, but Dawson says sophisticated 20-something college girls don't usually fall for dorky high school boys. Joey asks if he's not interested in Gretchen, and his evasive answer is that even if he were, she's not interested in him, and he doesn't want to ruin a friendship he calls perfectly good, which is kind of minimizing it.
Hmm.
Joey gets emotional again, saying that things don't necessarily have to work out that way. Look at them. After everything that's happened, they're friends. And if they weren't, Dawson wouldn't have given her this photo, and she wouldn't be sitting there telling him to do what his heart tells him to, and that Gretchen would be lucky to have him. She gives him a forehead kiss on the way out, which, as we know, is half of what she and Pacey are doing these days, kiss-wise, and Dawson is reflective as she leaves. And then the next day, Pacey goes to see Mr. Kasdan, who didn't think he was going to see Pacey until later. Clip 18.
Oh, would you like to hang around in junior English and have another go at Bartleby the Scrivener?
No, thanks. Uh-huh. I should prefer not to.
Bartleby-based humor, very impressive, Mr. Ritter.
So it's a better joke if you didn't underline it.
Jinx!
But anyway, Pacey starts with a hypothetical about a usually good student in Mr. Kasdan's AP English class, clip 19.
He or she.
Do you think we could keep it at a they for right now? Just for argument's sake, remain gender neutral.
And contribute to the further corruption of the English language as it is spoken on the North American continent, please, by all means.
Shut up.
Oh, boo. Pronoun prescriptivist.
I know.
Get out.
Josh Gondelman has a joke in his new special about this where he's like people pretending they're mad about pronouns because of the language. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you were such a drunken white guy, which like, seriously. Anyway, Pacey's taken it upon himself to appeal for a do-over on Joey's behalf because of all the pressure that she's put on herself. And as he gets agitated, he accidentally calls her she, and Mr. Kasdan cracks that he's talking about Joey because duh. But if he bends the rules for one person, he has to do it for everybody. Pacey says he had to try, and Mr. Kasdan says he did, admirably, but not admirably enough for him to be reasonable, I guess. But on the other hand, like, this is not Pacey's place. I didn't love this.
Let her try to hustle this if she wants to, but...
Yeah. And once again, Joey's leaning way too far over her book when Mr. Kasdan comments that a more prudent choice would have been to read it before the test. When she asks, he admits she got a C-, but he assumes... She had a feeling, given the visit he got from Pacey earlier, asking him to give Joey a second chance. He told Pacey no, but since another student missed the test for an orthodontist appointment, Mr. Kasdan's giving a makeup tomorrow and Joey can retake hers then too, but he'll still penalize her half a letter grade. And he tells her that she's highlighting too hard and then marks something for her to read. And as I already said, I fucking hate Walden, so I'm not going to clip it, but it's a line about Thoreau borrowing an axe on his way to the woods. Mr. Kasdan asks what the most important word in the sentence is. Joey guesses wood, but it's borrowed because the transcendentalists relied on each other and we should all be so lucky, blah, blah, blah. I get the parallel, but also Walden sucks. Sorry.
Yeah. Not my favorite unit of sophomore English, but we're almost done.
Go, if you have Apple TV Plus, watch the Dickinson season one episode about her meeting Thoreau because John Mulaney plays him and it's great and really funny and highlights all the reasons that Walden is bullshit.
Yeah. Also, Drunk History, if you could find it. Their Transcendentalist episodes were extremely funny and full of belches.
Dawson comes to Mr. Brooks's house just as a younger woman comes out and starts scolding Dawson that he's probably the reason Mr. Brooks hasn't been taking his medication because it makes him forget things. Mr. Brooks comes out behind her mid-lecture, saying that nurses can be replaced. When she leaves, it's awkward. Clip 20.
All right, secret's out. Not to worry, I'm not dead yet. I'm just holding short, waiting for a clearance. So what can I help you with?
I left my video camera here yesterday.
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. There it is. See? I didn't steal it or anything. Probably beyond me. Major motion picture director that I am, to figure out how the damn thing works anyway. Hey, wait a minute. What are you doing? You can't abandon the AI Brooks story, epic motion picture in progress.
Well, the nurse said that...
Look, I'm not going to be around forever. Might be nice to leave something behind, you know, for people to remember me by. Since the A&E biography folks aren't going to get to me anytime soon, would you still be willing to... direct this little picture of ours?
Sure.
All righty then.
What is with A&E taking strays on this show? Is this like the second time in three episodes that some A&E show got gigged? Maybe. I'm thinking of Behind the Music. Doesn't matter.
I don't know. I love that. Remember when A&E used to make biography?
Yeah.
Time. And you'd see a promo and be like, them? Anyway, Dawson fires up the camera. Mr. Brooks resumes his Route 66 story, telling it fluently and easily, but without sounding over-rehearsed. He ended up in Las Vegas and met Natalie Andrews, the girl in his movie, in the diner where she was waitressing. She was born there and hated it. She couldn't understand people coming there and taking chances they'd be too scared to at home. One day, a ride came by on its way to L.A., and before Mr. Brooks could say goodbye to her, she jumped over the counter and left with him. He misses her. Aw. And then Pacey comes over to the B&B, Joey having called him because she needed help with something. She has parked Alexander in front of a video in Bessie's room, who among us, as of this recording, Catherine Van Arendark, our friend, just published a piece on Vulture that says, let your kids watch TV, it's fine. So that's the last thing I need to hear about it.
Sure is.
Joey called Pacey so she could thank him for getting her a second chance on the test. He is surprised to hear it worked. She doesn't have to take it until tomorrow, so tonight she's ready to do some kissing, but he stops her until she also says, talk to Dawson and they are fine. And she resumes kissing him, but he says there's something else they should be doing, which is sitting in front of the fire with Alexander while Pacey runs her transcendentalist flashcards. This is porn for nerd girls, by the way.
Oh my God, 100%.
Other than the baby part, the great Beth Orton starts up as we transition to town where Dawson meets Gretchen just before the tree lighting ceremony, clip 21.
Do you like to gamble?
We're talking bingo or more serious stuff?
Anything. Because I don't. I never understood why anybody did it. until today.
Dawson, if this has to do with what happened the other day, I think I know what you're going to say. And
I like you. There, I said it. I like you, and that kiss meant more to me than just happy holidays. And everything I said the other day was a lie. Well, not a lie, because I think I meant it at the time, but I was basically just trying to fool myself because I didn't want to screw up our friendship, and I was going to let that fear stop me, but I don't want to, and I'm not going to, because I don't want to learn that lesson at 17, or any time for that matter. And you can tell me that you're too old, and you can tell me that I'm too young, and you can tell me that I'm not over Joey, but nothing that you say is going to change the fact that I said it. And I'm really glad that I said it, because you're worth risking everything for.
What am I going to do with you?
Just tell me the truth.
The truth. Sometimes a kiss is just a kiss. And sometimes a kiss means...
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
I haven't heard that song in years. So good.
That's
Don't Need a Reason by Beth Orton. Look it up.
I'm not clear on, like, is it just a kiss or is it just happy holidays? Because that seems like it's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason it's just happy holidays is because they're at the tree and she's trying whatever to try and get out of this at this point.
Yeah, fair. Which is a shame, because this is possibly the most charming he's ever been. Just like blathering at her while she's like, got it. It's the point.
Yes.
I don't know. Good episode for Dawson.
Very nice episode all around, actually. I thought this was pretty good. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. We know yours.
Yeah. I mean, gotta be the ARP card holder himself. Bourbon neat, Mr. Brooks. But Katie Holmes, definitely in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to the music supervisor because that song really left me in the great mood.
Mm-hmm.
Least valuable player.
Bessie. The fuck, man? It's not like you. Like... Jesus, at least close the B&B for business or put a sign out front that's like no vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
She's 17.
Yeah.
She's watching her kid.
Yeah. Okay, fine. I'm going to not say Joey, even though I think she was kind of a coos in this episode. But instead,
we'll give it to
Mr. Kasdan for that pronoun line, because so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Agree. Next time on Again With This, Pacey tries to drive a wedge between Gretchen and Dawson, Drew tries to get out of a visit to his dad using extreme measures, and Mr. Brooks tries to get it in with Grams. You should perhaps try some Visine before contemplating all the square neck tops and melting wax faces in our visual aids. We do those for every episode of this year podcast, and you will find them, along with the episodes themselves, on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. I'm iconic drink order Sarah D. Bunting. I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is ironic Letterman's Jacket, Tara Ariano. She's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, doesn't like to gamble. Talk to you next time.
Would you like a soda pop, Mr. Leary?
Our
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.